for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Tuesday afternoon service of December the 27th, 1988, tape number 8 of the Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Glenn and Irma Miller are the teachers of the afternoon.
Father, I thank you this afternoon for the presence of the Holy Spirit in our midst. Thank you for your word. Help it to become a living reality, that your word lives within us, and that it is a living word and not a dead word. But Father, that the word shall become such that it shall be a living thing within us, and that we shall speak it even without even knowing that we shall speak a living word. For it is written that in the name of your Son, you give us authority and dominion and power over all the things of Satan. In fact, over all the things of this earth, you give us that dominion. And Father, we have not yet learned how to take that place of dominion and authority. But Father, help us to desire to know by your word that we will be able to speak a creative, living word to bring forth that which is needed in the hearts and lives of every one of your people, myself included, that we will be able to declare Jesus is Lord, because he's Lord of our lives, and by his blood there's cleansing and washing, and by the authority of his name there is deliverance, and by the word of the Lord that there is that the kingdom shall come into existence. And we thank you for it this afternoon. Now I take authority over every spirit in this place that would tender in any way in the services this afternoon and in the word that shall come forth, and I bind it and take dominion over it in the name of Jesus. And I loose the authority of the word in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Linda this morning talked to us for a while, and I felt in what she taught us this morning, basically she was teaching us that there is a walk of holiness that we have not yet attained unto, and a lot of us are not interested in it. And that we need to correct. We need to have a desire in our hearts and in the things of the Lord to walk before the Lord in holiness and in righteousness, that we can be a people that is a glory unto the Lord. So, this afternoon, for a few minutes before Irma comes, and I may or may not come back and say some more and teach some more, but I'm going to look and see what the Lord says about that subject of holiness. And I believe that the Lord is calling us to desire to be holy in what? In deed and in thought. And the thought is harder than the deed. That is the hardest. And we need to learn that the blood of Jesus is available to help us. And we need to apply and appropriate it to our mind and to the subconscious of our mind, that when these thoughts arise, that we need to learn how to take authority over them and take dominion over them, and then apply the blood of the Lord Jesus to cleanse our minds of these things that are contrary or even reprobate to man. But we have to practice doing it. I have to practice doing that, and you have to practice doing that. I believe that it is possible to be in the most vilest place and yet not be partaker of it in thought or deed. I believe that. But I believe that we cannot do that unless we practice that before we happen to be caught in that spot. If you don't make it a practice of cleansing your mind and washing the subconscious of your mind with the blood when these things pass through, or pass in front of you, or pass through, whichever way it be, you'll not be able to do it when you are confronted with a situation that is almost beyond your ability to cope with. And Satan will try down through life to confront all of us from time to time who are trying and are trying and are serving the Lord to confront us with these situations where you can be very easy to slip. Instead of being an example of holiness, you will turn and be a disgrace to the Lord. Leviticus chapter 19, and some people say that this is not possible, and I used to say that, or think it. I don't remember if I said it, but at least I thought it. But I believe that the Lord wouldn't have put it down after time. My idea has changed, and I believe that it is possible, or the Lord wouldn't have said it. At least we should strive for it. Paul said that he strove for the prize of the high calling, which was in Christ Jesus. And every one of us need to be striving for that place in Christ Jesus. And that place in Christ Jesus is holiness and purity in thought and in deed. But you have to fight a battle for it. You have to fight it, and the first place you have to fight it is in the mind. In the mind. You have to fight it continually. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 2 says, well, I'll read verse 1 because I like what verse 1 says because it contradicts tradition, verse 1 does. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, tradition tells us, I've heard it many times, that this is Moses' laws. Tradition says this is Moses' laws. And so that lets people off the hook, see? It's not God's law, it's Moses' law, so they're off the hook. But I don't find that it's Moses' law. Because there I just said, and the Lord spake to Moses, saying. So it's God's laws. Moses just repeated them and spoke them and wrote them down. And because Moses spoke them, why people say it's Moses' law, and they don't feel so bad about having to keep them. Moses says, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, you shall be holy. Oh, the Lord said to Moses, tell the people of Israel that if they'd like to be holy, they ought to try to be holy. Is that what he said? That's the way almost everybody interprets it. It's the truth. That's the way they interpret it. That's the way they apply it. But he said, you shall be holy. And why? For I am that I am, says, that for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Okay. So, chapter 21, Leviticus. The Lord's got it all sewed all through Leviticus. Chapter 21, the Lord says here in verse 1, and the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto the priests, the sons of Aaron, and say unto them, there shall none be defiled for the dead and among this people, and so forth. But he says, speak to the priests. And today, we're coming into the understanding that every head of every household is a priest before the Lord, and really, even the women are. That we're a kingdom of priests. We are not kings and lords who will ever rule in this earth. There will never be a king. You will never be a king. You will never be a lord. There's only one king and one lord, and he only will rule. That's Jesus. And I hear people say that we're kings and lords. That is erroneous. It is not scriptural. And it's placing a king in place of Jesus. Jesus is king. He is Lord. He is King and Lord, and He will become King of kings of all the kings that have ever ruled on the face of the earth, and when He become King, there will be no other King, for He is King, and there will be no need for any other King. But we are, and will become, and are becoming, a kingdom of priests. We are not kings and priests, and there's two scriptures in the Bible that says that we're kings and priests, and that is a mistranslation. If you go back and check it out, you'll find that that's a mistranslation, and it should read that we are a kingdom of priests. Every translation should read a kingdom of priests, and my Bible has all been changed so that it reads that way. No place does my Bible read kings and priests. I have altered so it reads as it should read from the original. So, there is only one king, and he is Jesus, and he will rule, and we are his subjects. But I expect to be part of that kingdom of priests that will rule and reign with the Lord. For the priests are the ruling body of the kingdom of God. The priests are. The priests were the lawyers. The priests were the doctors. To the children of Israel and for the 40 years in the wilderness and on, the priests were the doctors. The priests were the lawyers. The priests were those that settled all disputes. They were the ones that ruled and told the people what to do. They did according to the priests. The priesthood is the ruling body of the kingdom of God. And my desire is to be part of that priesthood, that ruling body of the kingdom of God, in whatever position the Lord sees fit for me to have, I am satisfied. I will be satisfied. Amen. That is my goal. Anyway, here, the Lord speak unto Moses, and to say unto the priests, the sons of Aaron. And he says to say unto them. Then he says some things here about their kinfolk and that, and being married, so forth. But in verse 4 it says, But he shall not defile himself, because he's a chief man among the people. He shall not profane himself. They shall not make any baldness upon their heads, neither shall they shave off the corner of their beards, nor make any cuttings, no tattoos in your flesh, no cuttings in their flesh, and they shall be holy unto their God. Well, I'm speaking about tattoos, I'll throw in pierced ears. That's a cutting in your flesh. And God says you're not to do it. They shall be holy unto their God and not profane the name of their God. For the offerings of the Lord made by fire and the bread of their God they do offer. Therefore, they are holy. So, the Lord says that the priests are to be holy unto him. Chapter 20, verse 7 says, sanctify yourselves, therefore. So we come to the Lord to sanctify ourselves through the blood of the Lord Jesus. He is the one who is now our sacrifice for us. And through his blood we come to sanctify ourselves and have cleansing and be washed so that we're clean before the Lord. We come through the Lord Jesus. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. And you shall keep my statutes and do them. Would you like to obey the commandments of the Lord? Oh, I think I might want to. The Lord says it might be nice. No, the Lord didn't say it'd be nice. He says, you shall keep my statutes and do them. He didn't ask you if you'd like to do it, if you'd think about it. He said, do it. Why? Because I am the Lord which sanctifieth you. So if we want the blessings of the Lord and want Abraham's blessings to be ours, then we've got to do what God told Abraham to do, keep his word. Make it be part of us. Make it live in my heart so that it's written in my heart as well as in my mind. It's written in my heart. And my desire is unto the Lord to keep his word. That my desire is to keep the word of the Lord. And if I keep it, I won't think whether I like it or don't like it. You see, you let your carnal mind get in there and you think, well, I don't like to do that. You shouldn't think that way. You should think the way the Lord said, do so and so. Therefore, because he said so, I'll do it willingly because I want to please the Lord. And today, we're all in rebellion and we don't want to please the Lord. We want to please self. So in pleasing self, we disobey the word of the Lord. So then you expect Abraham's blessings. No, you won't get them and neither will I. Abraham's blessings only come to those who keep the word of the Lord. And then when you keep the word of the Lord, you don't have to worry about Abraham's blessings because God says they're automatically mine. He says if I keep his word, his blessings will be mine. He says if I keep and obey his word, that he'll bring none of these diseases of Egypt upon us. Where did they come from? He said he'll not bring them on us. So you figure that one out. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, verse 4 says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So, Ephesians, Paul says here in Ephesians that we've been chosen before the foundation of the world. And why were we chosen? We were chosen to please the Lord and to obey him, and that we should be holy without blame. There's only one way you're going to be holy and without blame, and that's to apply and appropriate the blood of the Lord Jesus, and then to hide his word in our heart that we sin not against him. And to hide it in our heart. That it be written within us indelibly. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Why? To the praise of the glory of his grace. Hallelujah. Wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Now that is a statement that I cannot comprehend. I cannot understand it. I cannot comprehend it. Neither can I comprehend Calvary. I cannot understand it. But I know that his blood washes me white as snow. Hallelujah. I know that. Therefore, to that I rejoice in. But I do not comprehend the fullness and the extent of the blood of Calvary. For I know that today the blood is on the mercy seat before the throne. And there Jesus is ever interceding for us. And that his blood was once shed for me and for you. That through his blood, I and you might have eternal life. And that we might rule and reign with him in his kingdom throughout eternity. What is eternity? I cannot comprehend that. Neither can you. I cannot. But I believe that down through the eons of time, I will be continually learning of the mercies and the grace of God. I don't believe that it will ever come to an end. And that is beyond my finite mind to understand and comprehend the mercies of God. He says, to the praise and to the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood for the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Colossians chapter 1 says in verse 22, wow, we're getting tough, in the body of his flesh through death to present you and me holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. I thank the Lord that Jesus came, because there's no way that I would have been able or you would have been able to achieve to that place. But only by the grace and the mercy of Jesus through Calvary can we obtain to this place. Holy and unblameable, unreprovable in the Lord's sight. Jesus is our Redeemer. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus has paid the price for me, that I might attain unto that place that I am not in my own self able to obtain to, except through his blood and by his grace and mercy, as I declare that I shall be holy before the Lord. And then I strive to obtain unto that place in him. But it's a warfare. It's not a recreation hall, brother. It's a battlefield. And it's a battle every day. And the battle is in the mind and it's in the body. And we have to fight it in the name of the Lord Jesus. For that is our authority, in his name and by his blood. Chapter 1. Colossians, that's what I just read, didn't I? I want Ephesians 5. Back up to Ephesians 5, about four pages. Verse 27 says, what's the purpose for all of this? Verse 27 of Ephesians says, that Jesus might present to himself a glorious church. What? Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So, he's looking for a church that's without spot and wrinkle, holy before him. I don't think there's anybody like that yet without spot and wrinkle. We need the iron to do some ironing. So we need the heat to take out the wrinkles, and we need some scrubbing to take out the spots. And bless God, we're working on it. We're working on it. We've been working on it. We've been working on it here at the campground and before we ever got here, and we're working on it every day here at the camp meetings. We're working on the spots and wrinkles to get us cleaned up so that we can be presented before the Lord without spot and blemish, holy, without blame before Him. 1 Peter chapter 3 says that he's looking for something else. Verse 5. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. So this tells us that the Lord expects women to be holy. Holy women. And he said, and the Lord says here that there were holy women who trusted in God. And then in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21 it says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but by holy men of God, as they spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So the Lord says there's holy women and there's holy men. We are to strive to obtain unto that place in the Lord as an individual and then corporately as a body, so that the Lord will have a church that's without spot and wrinkle before Him. Okay, Revelation 22. I always end up here. Revelation 22 says, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. Boy, I don't want to be one of them. He which is filthy, let him still be filthy. But he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be still more holy. So that's our goal. That's what we are to strive for. It says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. So we are to work for the Lord. We are to strive to be holy, and we are to bring fruits to be, and to present before the Lord the fruits of our labors, that we may present unto Him that which we have, and that our talents will not be hidden in the sand, and the Lord will say, take him away and take his talent away and throw him into everlasting torment. But that our talents will be acceptable unto the Lord, and he'll say, well done to us, good and faithful servant. And he said, then he says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And then he ends the book with this: blessed are they that do my commandments. So evidently, we are to find what the word of the Lord says, and then we are to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth for my life and for those about us, so that we can be a people of holiness and righteousness before the Lord, presenting unto Him that which He has called us to be. Amen. Irma, come and take up wherever I've left off, so be it.
Well, I didn't know what he was going to talk about. I never really usually let him know, especially if he's going to talk first. Because you know why, don't you? I was teasing Tommy yesterday morning because he preached almost the same thing that I taught on last Saturday night, and I really did misplace my notes. I was trying to find them to show them to him, and I noticed he had a yellow tablet, you know, and I'm always writing on a yellow tablet, and I was saying, you know, you can stay over at my house, but don't steal my notes. Well, he really didn't. You know, the Holy Spirit can cause everybody to flow in the things that he once said in meetings. And it's been going every day. It's just been, we've been adding precept upon precept, haven't we? The Holy Spirit has been talking to us. The Lord is talking to us in thunder this afternoon, too, isn't he? What I'm going to talk about is worldliness. How many knows what that is? Or how much of the love of the world do we have in us? How much? Too much, they're saying up here. Can you hear me in the back? You could give me a tiny bit more volume.
Can't make it squeal.
I won't squeal.
Yes, you will.
Let's turn to 1 John, 2nd chapter. Most of you may know where I'm going to. I don't know, but we're going to read this. 15th verse. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, any man or any woman, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, I understand that Patty and Jean talked about the love of the Father upstairs. Is that right? Up in the ladies' meeting. I didn't go up there. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. You have to read this several times to get. There's a lot of things. It's broken down in three sections, isn't it? The lust of the flesh. The flesh wants to rule the Holy Spirit, doesn't it? It wants to rule us. And if you let it, some people have let it this afternoon, I see. They're sleeping. That's the flesh ruling you, isn't it? We want what we want when we want it, but we say spirit, we say body, soul, and spirit. You know, that's the lingo in the church world. But we should say spirit, soul, and body. We should allow the Holy Spirit. We're never going to be mature sons of God if we let the flesh rule us, are we? Never. Now, the flesh can be broken up, or all, this scripture can be broken up, and worldliness has many tentacles, doesn't it? The enemy comes with long tentacles, and he operates in all different ways in all of us, any way that we will yield to him. Now, I wouldn't yield to drinking, but maybe some of you have had that problem in your early life. And when you get around anybody that drinks, you feel a desire for a drink. Well, that should be taken care of. I hope we can take care of it this afternoon. Now, in the olden days, way back in the 30s, when we came into Pentecost, we had a lot of teaching on holiness until it got to be ridiculous. How many was in that era? You know, we knew. Well, they taught us. They had some good things, and the pendulum was way over here, and now it's way over here. We were taught, don't go to dances. I hope nobody in here does. We don't need any jitterbugs or rock or dirty dancing or whatever they call it.
Choreography. Oh,
I'm sorry. Choreography, she's saying. We don't need to be playing with cards. We should be playing with the Word of God, reading it.
Bring the purse in your house when you bring them in.
That's right.
Because of what's on the back of them.
That's right. How many know that? Okay. Of course, we were taught a lot about how to dress. Well, Christians should be modest. And we all should know to be modest. You don't have to follow the fashion world. When they raise their skirts up real high, you don't have to do it. And if they try to sell you that, I just say, I'm sorry, I'm not going to buy anything like that. You better order something that is longer. You know, there's no use to pussyfoot around and allow the world to rule us. We need, and I don't mean that you should be wearing dresses down to your ankles and long sleeves and all of that. That isn't necessary. Holiness is within. But see, we were taught, I'm telling you about what we were taught when I was young. Well, some of that has stuck with me, no doubt. And maybe you think I should get rid of some of those things. Well, we'll see. Now, let's go to James 4 and 7. Let's start at the first verse of the fourth chapter of James. From whence come wars and fightings among you? If there's any phone calls that I hate to get, it's about all these church fights that are around everywhere. How many realize? Do you have any in Texas, Brother Boland? Always strife and squabbles in a church, trying to get rid of the pastor or trying to starve him out or trying to do something. Come they not hence? This is where they come from. From the lust that war in your members. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because you ask not. Ye ask and receive not because you ask amiss. You know, the Lord doesn't answer every prayer we beller out to him. Do you know that? He hears them. But if we're asking amiss, my lad, we'd have ourselves so spoiled. If everything we wanted, we asked him and he gave it to us. You know why? We would consume it upon our own lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Now, I hear all this all the time. I don't hear that part of the scripture being quoted. What I hear is, resist the devil and he has to flee. I resist the devil and he has to flee, but he doesn't have to at all. There's always in the scriptures, if you'll do this, the Lord says, I'll do that. And he says, if you'll submit yourself to God, then us, resist the devil, and he's going to have to flee. And you can yell, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, all day and all night, and scream at him and yell at him. He won't have to leave. No. He just laugh at you. And he won't budge. He won't budge. But we must submit ourselves to God. And that, we haven't had too much teaching on, have we? We really haven't. And maybe Brother Tommy will get some ideas and he'll give us a good... Now, I don't want to say a good lesson on submission, because we've had enough of that in the church world the last 15 or 20 years. I mean... a good sermon on submitting to God. Submitting to God. If we're submitted to God, we won't mind to be submitted to authority of a pastor or submitted to the laws of the land or submitted to the laws of God, will we? Submitting to God. Wanting to please the Father because we love the Father. We should love Him. I say all the time, Lord, help me to love you more and more, because when you think of Jesus sitting in heaven and then coming down here in this terrible world to straighten all of us out, He has, you know, that's just, as Glenn says, that's not understandable. Now, the flesh, I'm going to get on this, lust of the flesh. It demands inordinate indulgence. It is selfish, it is soulish, and it's self-centered. Now, if you feel you have any of these attributes that I'm talking about, we might be calling them out at the end of the service and repenting over them. Now, repentance is not out of style. It never has been out of style. It never changes. We must repent. Lust is self-indulgence of the flesh. It wants pleasure, and it loves carnality. How many believe that? If we just let ourselves go, we could be so carnal. And I imagine if we were standing in front of Jesus and the light was turned on us, we would shiver and shake because of all the carnality that's still in all of us. And yet we're all trying to be good Christians, aren't we? But the path is a shining light. Of the just is a shining light. But the road is, the path is going to get more narrow and more narrow. And what did you say in 89? It's going to be, we're going to have to shape up, aren't we? Or we might be shipped out. Who knows? All this free thinkers, you know. That's being taught. That's in that new age that she was talking about yesterday. Free thinking. Let the children do as they please. The poor little innocent things. Don't try to make them mine. The flesh is sensual. And it's full of lewdness and uncouth. The flesh is indecent until the Lord changes it. Immodest. Why? You know, I imagine D.L. Moody would turn over in his grave if he came back and walked the streets of Los Angeles. And the brazenness of young people and women and the brazenness on the TV, they think nothing about saying horrible things. Sodomy. You might think, well, that is a terrible thing. That can't be in the church. Well, it is. If you don't believe it, you haven't been reading the newspaper or watching any TV. We've had visual aids of sodomy among the ministries. Homosexuality. The church is full of it. Incest. Men molesting little children. I remember years ago I wrote an article. The Holy Spirit just had me write it. I didn't even really know how much there was of incest until I wrote that article. Is incest a problem in the church today? And it is. If you don't believe it, you stay around here about a month and take these phone calls and pray for people that's been molested or have done it themselves to other people. Lesbianism and effeminate men. I can't stand effeminate men. Be men. Act like a man. We're the weaker vessel. Sometimes the women have to get stronger than the men. We're always wanting self-gratification. Self. What can I do for myself? All these things will eventually lead up to worse things. It always starts out with a little bit. And every year, these things are all getting worse in the nation. It's time for Christians to stand up and not do so much talking, but do a lot more talking to the Lord and a lot more binding and repenting for people that don't know how to repent. Do you know that you can repent for other people? And until they will turn to Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit's praying for lots of people when he prays through you. Do you realize that? They are so down in the clutches of the enemy that they'll never be able to get out, and you can start bringing, well, we've been bringing the sins that's visited down on us from our forefathers, but you can, in Job it says you can deliver those that don't want to be delivered. By asking the Lord to cleanse them, asking the Lord and bring their sins up. If they're on drugs or drinking or whatever it is, ask Jesus to forgive them. He is merciful. Amen. He is merciful. Now I'm going to get on something we were on upstairs yesterday, and somebody asked me to talk about it. Well, I already had this sort of prepared, so we might do some more of it upstairs tomorrow afternoon in that ladies' meeting. If you men don't believe it, those ladies, we get with it. We want to be free. We want to be pure. We want to be able to help other people. You can't help other people as long as you've got sin in your own life. As long as you've got that same thing, you'll never be able to help any people. Now, the flesh, we're on the lust of the flesh now, remember. The lust and appetite for foods and excessive eating. There's not a thing wrong with eating. We have to eat because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And our bodies, the Lord lives in us. We have to have healthy bodies. We have to have bodies that are strong. And we are to be strong. And you need a strong, healthy body to pray for other people or to minister to other people because it saps your strength. I was just telling the other day, lately we've had so many just what I would call horrifying calls that come in, people that need prayer. The other day some woman called, and the son of a very famous minister had a gun on his little wife driving from Dallas up here, and he was going to kill her any minute. And somebody had jumped out of the car and called his mother. Well, that was a life or death. You had to be ready to pray right then. There was no, I'm too tired. We had to go to prayer right that minute. I don't know what happened. I haven't heard, but excessive eating comes from the spirit of gluttony. It's a wolf spirit, and it's a greedy spirit. Now, lust can also be lust for alcohol and beer. Some people have problems with that. Or cigarettes. Or we prayed for one girl once that drank 21 Cokes a day, ate a hamburger every third day, and that's all she ever ate. And if it wasn't been for Kevin, I probably wouldn't have any eyes left, because I was kneeling on the floor in front of her praying. And in those days, when we first moved here, I didn't know you could pray with your eyes open, really. And I had my eyes closed. And all of a sudden, she took a swing at me, and Kevin threw me over on the floor, and I escaped her blast. That enemy was so powerful. And you think, you know, I'm not going to get into that. I was going to say, these little children that are drinking 4 and 5 bottle cans of pop every day, that is wrong. You mothers, you better get with it and see that that is wrong. That's intemperance. The fruit of the Spirit is to be temperate. Anything that's overindulged is wrong. Overindulgence. It's totally, pretty soon you're out of control. Your body is ruling you. And there's a buffet up here. I think that the devil of gluttony and being a pig, they say we pig out there. You don't have to. You don't have to. Use your control. And if you feel and you can't control it, then you need deliverance from gluttony. Well, okay, is everybody with me? Or are you upset? Anybody upset? You're upset? Good. Do any more. Now, you know, we're in the world, aren't we? But we're not of the world. And I don't mean you have to act stupid to be holy, but those tentacles are out to grab you and influence you. It's always trying to influence us, the world. It wants to dominate our personality. It wants to mold our thoughts. It throws thoughts to you. And you either have to reject them and ask the Lord to help you, or you just receive them, and pretty soon you get more and more, and you get in trouble. We should be guided by what? By another spirit. You know, Tommy was talking about Caleb. I was talking about that last week. But the whole secret of that study is that he wholly, I don't mean H-O-L-Y, but he W-H-O-L-L-Y followed the Lord. That's a secret, that we have to wholly follow the Lord, and Lord help me and help all of us. And no compromising with the world. No arm in arm with anyone who despises the standards of the Bible. You may think you can win them over, but they'll pull you down. You know, people, worldly people will sap you. Now, I don't mean it's wrong to have acquaintances, but if you open your spirit up to them and compromise in anything, it's going to gradually work on the Holy Spirit that's in you. Because they're preoccupied with things of the world, aren't they? And, you know, Bob Mumford used to say, I don't smoke, and I don't chew, and I don't run with boys who do. That's a pretty good saying. That's a pretty good saying. We must be very careful of any intimate friendship. And you young people that aren't married yet, you must be careful about going out with unsaved boys. Was it Dr. Haggart that said, or girls? Or girls, that's right. Wasn't it Dr. Haggart that says, you go out and have a Coke with an unsaved boy, and you don't hold your standards up when you go out on a date, pretty soon he'll lure you. If you don't think young people of today are being lured by the enemy, they are. They are. You little school children should be careful with your friends, because these little kids know how to have a seance right at school. Do you know that? Out on the playground. In fact, in California, before we ever moved away, and that was almost 15 years ago, they had a witch's hut in the school close to us, and they could go in there any time and have a seance. Of course, you say that's California. Well, I'll tell you, there's seances all around here. I'm not going to get into it, but we just heard about one a couple weeks ago. We should be, as Christians, guided by higher principles than the world. And we cannot compromise with the world. Now I'm going to go into the lust of the eye. I'm not so sure we're going to have time to go into the pride of life. We might do that some other day, but we're going to get into the second phase, the lust of the eye. And I think maybe that I'll have some of you look up some scriptures for me so we can move, because I have a lot of scriptures on the lust of the eye. You know, if you've studied the Bible at all, you know about David. How many believe that David was what we would call a good Christian? He loved God, didn't he? But you see, he had this problem, didn't he? The lust of the eye. And he didn't go into battle when he's supposed to. And the Bible says if you don't go into battle, you're going to get a curse on you. God will put it on you, he says. So Bathsheba, David goes out on his upper deck, his roof, to get a little sun because, you know, he's tired and he's the king and he should rest. And he just don't want to go into the battle. Let them fight. Who cares? Let's just take our little rest this afternoon. And so Bathsheba, the wife of one of his subjects, she said, I think I'll go up on the roof and take my sunbath. So she went up and took her sunbath. And David looked over. And he probably turned away real quick. Then he looked again. After about the third look, that lust of the eye took him over, didn't it? And what did it get him? It got him into so much trouble that if you read the book of Psalms, he's still repenting yet today, isn't he? If you have sin in your life and you don't know how to repent, read the book of Psalms and repent along with David.
The curse of that followed for years and still, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
The curse of
it. Oh, yes. Glenn, will you read Ephesians 5 and 2? But first I'm going to talk, you can look it up. I'm going to talk about in the book of Joshua, and I'm not even going to turn there, the 7th chapter, it tells all about Achan. And he took that wedge of gold and the Babylonian garment, and instead of being open and above board, he took it in his tent and hid it, didn't he? That was lust. Lust of the eye. He saw that nice gold wedge and that nice garment, and he wanted it, and yet he knew better. See, that is iniquity when we sin and we know better. Yes. And we need our iniquities taken care of. Now, Glenn, read me Ephesians 5 and 2.
Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to read to you 2 Peter 2 and 14. And Glenn, will you look up Proverbs 21 and 26? And I'm going to read 2 Peter 2, if I can find it, and 14. Well, let's start at 13. And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. You know, we have riots in this country all the time. They do it for pleasure. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and hearts they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. Covetousness. That comes from lusting of the eye. Now read.
He coveteth greedily all the day long, but The righteous giveth and spareth not.
Good. Some people covet all the time. Everything they see, they want. The Lord didn't say he was going to give us everything we want. He says, I will meet your needs, but not your wants. And you can confess everything under the sun, but he's going to give you what you need. He gives us good and he gives us bad things. Whatever it is we want, he says, I'll give you the desires of your heart. Furthermore, so if you want to go downtown this afternoon and smoke a cigarette or pick up a girl, he'll let you. That's what's in your heart. He said, I'll give you the desires of your heart. If you want to, go do that. But then you'll be punished after that. All right, let's see. Have you read Proverbs 21:26? How about 1 Timothy 6 and 10? Anybody has it?
For the love of money.
Loud.
For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they having erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows.
The love of money is the root. Now, some people says, you theologians, I'm only a handmaiden, I don't have time to look up all these little words, but they say the love of money is a root of all evil. Some theologians, I've heard that preached. It's probably a root, and it's the root. Money gets more preachers into trouble and more laymen into trouble than anything else. Lust of the eye, sexual relations that are not right, and the love of money. Okay, let's look at 2 Timothy 3 and 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. How much do we love our own self? How much? How much? Too much. What'd you say?
Too much in the wrong way.
Too much in the wrong way. We take care of self. We're going to take care of ourselves. For men shall be lovers of their own selves and covetous. Here's this covetous in there again. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy. Well, and without natural affection and truth breakers. You have to nail down every legal paper that you can, and then it doesn't hold up in court if you get the wrong kind of judge that calls evil good and good evil. False accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. You know, some people just can't stand people that are Christians. They can't stand them. They don't even want to be around them. They're traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. But we Christians, the church, had not ought to be like that. These are spots and wrinkles. All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians 5 and 10. Somebody, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. This is Paul's writing. Now let's look at, I'll just read this next one on the 6th chapter next door and the 10th verse. Oh, wait a minute. Let's start at the 9th verse. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit of God, the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators nor idolaters. And the Bible says in one scripture, covetousness is idolatry. And adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous. If we covet, we cannot enter the kingdom of God. Isn't that pretty clear? Or shall we read it? Well, maybe as Glenn says, if you want to covet a little, you can. But you know, a little bit of poison is still poison. It doesn't change. Okay, let's go now to 1 Corinthians 16 and the 16th verse. I don't think that's the right scripture. Maybe I've got the wrong thing. Maybe it's 6:16. Well, anyway, at some place it's about covetousness. Know ye not, this is it. 6th chapter in the 15th verse. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? I think that was prophesied this morning, wasn't it? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? There's much harlotry in God's people today. For two, saith he, shall be one flesh, and so on and so forth. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Now, there's spiritual fornication, there's natural fornication. Spiritual fornication is going to fortune tellers and things like that, that God forbids, and we're not going to get on that today. Now, we're going to go to Proverbs 28 and 16. This is a lot of scripture, but the word won't hurt us, will it?
No.
The word will not return void. 28 and 16. The prince that wanteth understanding is also a great oppressor, but he that hateth covetousness shall prolong his days. Here's a scripture on longevity. If you want to live a long time, don't be covetous. Hate it. Hate it. We need to hate our sins. We need to hate these things. We just go merrily on our way. All of us. We're all guilty, aren't we? And we don't take any of these scriptures to heart, just the ones we like. But that's not good. You stand in front of the Lord, I tell you, we would all tremble, I imagine. Jeremiah 6 and 13. For from the least of them even unto the greatest of them, everyone, I just said that, is given to covetousness. And from the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. Oh, my. That's pretty. What do you think that means? The prophet down to, I think it's everyone. Yes, that is a serious thing. And Isaiah 56. Thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it. We need to lay hold on these scriptures of what the Lord says. If you want a real study, if you don't think that God's laws in the Old Testament have to be followed, you start reading what the Lord come down and said to Moses. The Lord come down and said to Joshua. The Lord came down. It wasn't Joshua's laws. It was God coming down and talking to him. And, you know, he talks to us in still, small voice. We've got conscience. We've all got conscience. And we know when we're sinning, don't we? We know when it's wrong. We know. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing evil. Neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. And let's go on down to the 9th verse. All the beasts of the field come to devour, yea, all ye beasts in the forest. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. I heard Doug Prince preach a sermon on this, a man that made your hair curl, about ministers that can't even say boo to a demon. We get so many calls, and I always say now, did you go to your pastor about this? Oh, no, I don't want him to know about this. I'm telling you, if you're not willing to get deliverance in the congregation of the righteous, you better work on your pride. Is that right? Dumb dogs, they cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his own gain from his quarters. Mark 7 and 22. 21st. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, that's women too, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. Foolishness. Always acting silly. Always got some silly joke. All these evil things come from within and defile us. Defile us. Do we want to be defiled? I should hope not. Now let's go to Luke 12 and 15. I'm going to be through just a minute, and then we're going to take care of some of these things. Has anybody got any of these things that they would like to be delivered of? Well, let's see your hands. Let's get honest. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye. We're not going to go into the pride of life today. Luke 12 and 15. And he said unto them, take heed. This is Jesus talking. Beware of covetousness. Beware of it. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Isn't that something? Beware of it. Now let's go to Romans 1. Well, I can't get out of Acts here. Romans 1. I'm trying to break in a new Bible. How many has ever tried that? Bible's falling apart. Let's see. The 27th verse. This is all about lust and uncleanness. Likewise also the men, 27th verse, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, people would like to keep God out of there. They don't want to know all this stuff. You know, a lot of people tell us, I don't want to know about that because I don't want to be responsible for it. Well, he winked at our ignorance once, but we've got plenty of Bibles in America, and we can all read them. And you can read them and check yourself. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. There's many people being delivered over to a reprobate mind. If you don't believe it, just open up your eyes and discern a little bit. And do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, just being plain mean, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, and whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, and boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding. You know, I was watching The Lust of the Eye. If you want to have a real education, you can go into the cereal section of a grocery store and watch the children, the little children with their mothers, 3 years old or maybe younger, screaming, buy this, I want that. And some of the mothers just get it. Otherwise, if they don't, the kid falls on the floor and has a tantrum. Because you can't punish them out where other people sees you, and they get by with it. And so rather, they give in to the children, and they buy all this. That kind of stuff that they advertise on TV, that kind of cereal, is not healthy. And it's $2 and something a box or something. And it's got this little old trinket in it that they've seen and they want. I tell you, mothers, we have to wake up, and I don't care if the kid screams and bawls, you need to conquer it. Conquer it. Otherwise, by the time it gets 15, you're going to be conquered. You're going to be conquered. You're going to be conquered. You know, I'm going to read one more thing. Longing to have everything the neighbor has is coveting. And daydreaming about it all the time. Always being eager to acquire a little bit better than the neighbors. One writer says, it is undue desire to get things that we don't need and buy with money we don't have, just use a credit card, in order to impress people we don't like. You know what the word, I was thinking about this. Impressing people, and I looked it up in the dictionary. Impression means the style or character formed by an outside force or indirect influence. An outside force. Who is the outside force, the enemy. An image in the mind, Glenn was talking about the mind, that's where the enemy works, caused by something outside it. The immediate effect produced upon the mind by sensation. You know how to get a crowd? It ain't casting out devils. That's not going to do it. It's something sensational that people enjoy. Or something real intellectual. You know, oh, he's got all these degrees, D.D. so-and-so. And it makes an impression on their friends if they go here to brother so-and-so. A vague notion, remembrance, or belief capable of making an effect on the intellect or feelings. We like to make a good impression, don't we? Well, I think those days in 89, according to Bill, things are going to change. We're not out to make a good impression. We're out to please the Lord. Yeah. How many feel we need to repent?
Yeah.
Good. Now, the more honest you are, the quicker that evil spirit will leave, because he is embarrassed when he is found out. The minute you can repent and say, Lord, I've done this. Of course, the Lord knows all about it. You know, long before, probably before you did it, you knew what was going to happen. But if we can be totally honest, and if we can forgive everybody that ever hurt us, that's 100% on the road to deliverance. Let's pray. And please follow me in this prayer, if you wish. Dear Father, we come in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we are needy here this afternoon. We need your precious blood. We want to be delivered of the lust of the eye and all of the tentacles and all the sins that comes from it. And Lord, we want to be delivered from the lust of this flesh.
We want your image to show.
We would see Jesus. And Lord, we would want other people to see Jesus in us. We want to be called by your name. We want to be Christians, like you've taught us in your word. And Jesus, we have come short of the glory of God. We need your help. We ask forgiveness for every time we've ever lusted of anything, or any time we've given over to the flesh and let it rule us. Lord, we know this flesh must go, because it cannot go into the kingdom. Lord, we were made to be spirit beings. We want to learn to walk in the Spirit and talk in the Spirit and move in the Spirit and say what you tell us to say. We want to hear your voice. We want our prayers answered. Lord, help us not to ask amiss. Lord, help us to ask for things that will help the body of Christ. And Jesus, right now, we just ask you for your precious blood to flow down all over us. All the sin of adultery and all kinds of fornication and all kinds of the love of money and all kinds of sensuality. All these sins that we've ever yielded to, or those we were born with,
We ask you, Lord, to cleanse. We want to be modest. And we want to be spiritual. Lord, we repent of being unspiritual and materialistic and free thinking. We have liked to think what we want to think about Scripture. But Lord, our ways are not your ways. So we ask you to forgive us for that. And help us to walk in your ways. To walk this narrow path that's going to lead us into Christ. We praise you, Jesus. Now just let the blood flow down. Let the blood of Jesus flow down over you. He's a forgiving God. He's a merciful God. Lord, these people are honest before you. They want to walk in holiness and purity. They don't want to walk in their own ways. They don't want to be selfish. They want to please you in all things. And Lord, help us. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. Now we're going to begin to bind these things, the lust, all the lust in us. All the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh. And we're going to ask the Lord to deliver us. He says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Let's call on him now. Lord, deliver us. He is the deliverer. You are my deliverer, Lord. And I submit to you. Thank you, Jesus. Now we're going to begin to call out these spirits. And the Holy Spirit comes as air or wind. The evil spirit comes the same way. Marks everything that the Lord does. So cast out means to breathe out. Give a quick breath out or vomit. It's in the dictionary. If you don't believe it, look up cast out and you'll see that. And we're going to expel some of these spirits this afternoon that plague us. All right? In the name of Jesus, we bind all lust of every kind. Of every kind. We bind all lust of the eye and all fleshly actions. And we command these evil spirits in the name of Jesus to begin coming out. I command lust to come out. Command lust of the flesh, fleshly things, appetites, gluttonous and intemperance and overindulgence, sodomy, perversion, carnal lust. Let them go. Let them go. Hate them. All incest, immodesty, indecency, brazen, uncouth talks. I command these spirits to begin coming out in Jesus' name. So let them come out. Let them come out. We don't need any big uproars here this afternoon. We have authority over these evil spirits. And just hate them and let them come out. Hate them. You have to work at this a little bit. This is a delivery room this afternoon. You don't have a baby without a little work. You don't get rid of evil spirits without a little work. It's up to you. Let them come out. Don't hold back. We'll get rid of pride later. Or you can be dignified tomorrow or tonight when Brother Boland preaches. All right, come on out. Lust, come on out. Lust, selfish and self-indulgence. Self-indulgence. Always thinking about yourself all the time. Come on out, self-indulgence. Lust, fornication. Come on out. Come on out. Love of money. The love of money. The love of money, we bind it in the name of Jesus. We command it to come out in Jesus' name. Come out. That's right. Come on out. Love of money. The root. That root. Let's pull that root out today. All the covetousness. All the covetousness. Idolatry. Covetousness is idolatry. Come out, idolatry, in the name of Jesus. Come on out, idolatry. Idolizing things. Idolizing people. Idolizing your children, idolizing anything, idolizing your home, anything, any type of an idol, in the name of Jesus, we bind that. In the name of Jesus, we bind that. Come on out. Come on out. Just keep right on. Just let them go. Everybody's doing beautiful. Come on out in Jesus' name. We have authority over these things. Overeating, overindulgence, gluttonous, come out in Jesus' name. Appetite spirits, come out. All appetite spirits, come out in Jesus' name. Come on out in overweight spirits, come out in Jesus' name. Come on out in Jesus' name. Cravings for certain foods, eating too much, drinking too many sodas, all of that, all of these things. Come out in Jesus' name. Come on out in Jesus' name. Come on out in Jesus' name. Come on out in Jesus' name. I bind you. Come on out in Jesus' name. There's a lot more in here yet. You want to call some out, Glenn? I'm going to go back here and pray with some people.
Father, I come in the name of Jesus, and I take authority in the name of Jesus over every spirit in this place this afternoon, and I bind them to the day of judgment and break their dominion over these people. Put the blood of Jesus to cleanse and to wash, and in the authority that's given to us, in Jesus' name, I come and take that place of authority, and I break your dominion over these people, and I loose them in Jesus' name. I break the dominion over their minds. I break the dominion over their thoughts. I break the dominion in Jesus' name, and I loose them. I break the carnal mind. I come against the carnal mind, and I break the dominion of it in Jesus' name. I loose us from it in Jesus' name. Sensuality, I break I come against the spirit of sensuality, spiritually and naturally. I come against the spirit of sensuality in Jesus' name. Lasciviousness, I bind that lewd, spirit of lewdness. I break that in Jesus' name. Uncouth spirits. I bind and break that dominion over. Come out of these people in Jesus' name. Come out of us. Everyone, a spirit of perversion. I bind and break you indecent. Spirit of indecency. I bind that. Immodesty. I bind that and break that dominion. Come out, all of you evil spirits. I bind your dominion. I break your take your rights away. I put the blood of Jesus to cleanse and to separate. I put the blood of Jesus to separate and to cleanse in Jesus' name. I break your dominion over us in the name of the Lord Jesus. I break that power in Jesus' name. Sodomy and incest. Come against incest in Jesus' name. Spirit of sodomy, I bind that in Jesus' name. I break the dominion of it in Jesus' name. I break that dominion. Come out in Jesus' name. I break that power in Jesus' name. You know, I come against the spirit of alcohol. Alcohol in every form. Strong drink, I come against and bind the power in every form in Jesus' name. Spirit of strong drink, spirit of alcohol, spirit of beer, spirit of wine, I bind that. Now, some of you may have not had a drink for years, but if the right situation came, you would be tempted by it. I come against that spirit that would tempt you, and I break its dominion over you in Jesus' name. Spirits of alcohol, I bind you. And spirits of drugs, I bind the spirit of drugs, and I break that dominion in Jesus' name. Every person in here, in the name of Jesus, every spirit of drugs, I bind and break that power in Jesus' name. Come out of us. Come out in Jesus' name. Inherited ancestral curse of alcohol. I come against the inherited ancestral curse of alcohol. The scripture says that we're cursed if we give our brother drink. I come against the curse of alcohol. I break that curse of inherited alcohol, a curse of alcohol that's come down through the family line. If any of our forefathers have sold or given drink to their neighbor or in the family, I break the curse of it. I loose us from it. I bind and break that spirit in Jesus' name. Father, I break that dominion off of God's people. I loose them from it. I put the blood to cleanse and to wash the curse of it and to loose us from it. Jesus became a curse, so that we don't have to bear the curse. And authority of that Galatians 3:13, I break the dominion of alcohol and the curse of it over these people in Jesus' name. And in every form, I break the dominion of it in Jesus' name. I come against a mind-binding spirit. I come against a mind-binding spirit. I bind and break that dominion in Jesus' name. I loose these people from it in Jesus' name. I bind and break that dominion in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Spirit of insanity, inherited spirit down through the family line of insanity. I come against that. I stand against the familiar spirit of insanity. I bind his dominion and I break his power over every one of us in Jesus' name. I bind you, foul spirit of insanity. I break your dominion, you inherited spirit that's come down through the generations. I take authority over you and I bind and break your dominion and I take your rights away. I put the blood to cleanse and to wash and the authority of the word that it is written that Jesus became that curse. I break the dominion of it. I loose these people and myself from any the inherited curse of insanity that would be in our family line. I loose us from it in Jesus' name. I break that dominion and I loose us. I set our minds free in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I speak to the subconscious. I bind and break the powers of the subconscious mind in Jesus' name. I put the blood to cleanse and to wash the filth that we've have heard or participated in down over the years that's stored in our subconscious mind. I apply and appropriate the blood to cleanse and wash our subconscious minds to take all this filth out. I cleanse our minds with the blood of the Lord Jesus. I cleanse our minds of the filth that's in our minds that's contrary to the Word of God. I break the dominion of it. I loose our minds from it in Jesus' name. I wash our minds with the blood of Jesus. I wash our minds with the blood of Jesus. I break the dominion of it in Jesus' name. I thank you for it, Father. I praise you for it. I thank you for it. I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Rebellion. Rebellion against the Word of God. Rebellion against authority. Rebellion against our parents. Father, I come against the curse that would come down and be visited upon me or my children because of my parents' rebellion against their parents. I break that curse over me and my family. I break it over these people and their families. The curse of rebellion against the authority of their family, against the authority of their father or their mother, against the authority of the laws of the country. I break that curse that would be on us. And I loose us from it in Jesus' name. I take authority over that and I break the dominion of it. And I loose it from us in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for it. I praise you for it. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. You familiar spirit of heart trouble. You familiar spirit of heart trouble that's rampanting the nation today. I come against the curse of it. I come against the cause of it, the sin that has allowed it. And I put the blood of Jesus to cleanse and wash us from the sin that has given rights to Satan for heart trouble in any form. I put the blood to cleanse and to wash you spirits of heart trouble. I bind you in every form. Come out of these people. Loose them in Jesus' name. I break your dominion over them in Jesus' name. Loose them and come out. Spirit of witchcraft, I bind and break that spirit. The spirit of the witch, I bind you in Jesus' name. Come out in the name of the Lord. I break your dominion. Come out, you spirit of the witch. Come out in Jesus' name. I break your dominion over these people. I bind and break your power. Spirit of a warlock, I break your dominion over us in any form in Jesus' name. Come out. I break your dominion in Jesus' name. I bind you and bind to the day of judgment. I put the blood to cleanse and to separate and to wash and take your rights away in the name of the Lord Jesus. I thank you for it, Father. I praise you for it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Jesus. Selfishness. Selfishness. You spirit of selfishness that's in every child that's born, in every one of us. You foul spirit of selfishness. Me, mine. Mine. It's mine. You can't have it. It's mine. I bind that spirit of selfishness. I bind and break that dominion over us. In Jesus' name, I bind it over every one of us, from the oldest to the least, to the youngest. I bind that selfish spirit. I bind and break your dominion over us in Jesus' name. Set us free. Come out, you selfish spirit. I break your dominion over us in Jesus' name. Selfishness, self-will. You self-willed spirit. I break that dominion in Jesus' name. Come out of these people. Come out of us, you spirit of self-will. I break your dominion in Jesus' name. I bind and break your power in the name of the Lord. I put the blood to cleanse and to wash in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for it. I praise you. I praise you for the authority that you've given us, that you said in my name, in the name of your Son Jesus, in his name, we would take authority over the demon spirits and we'd cast them out. This afternoon I stand in the authority of the word that it is written, and I bind and break your dominion over these people, and I loose them in Jesus' name. Come out, you foul, unclean spirits. You spirits that torment the mind, I bind you. You foul spirits of insanity, I bind and break your dominion over us in Jesus' name. Loose these people. Come out in the name of the Lord. I break your dominion. Come out in Jesus' name. Spirits of insanity, spirits of slumber, I bind and break that spirit of slumber in Jesus' name. You spirit of unnatural slumber and sleep, I break your dominion over us in Jesus' name. I bind and break your dominion. I set us free in the name of the Lord. Loose these people. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out in the name of the Lord. I break your dominion in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Spirit of the bastard, spirit of being illegitimate, I come against that spirit that's visited down for 10 generations. I take authority over that spirit. I bind and break its dominion over us. I loose our family lines from its rights. I come against it. I put the blood of Jesus to cleanse and to wash. And I take authority over the inherited curse of illegitimacy. And I break its dominion over these people in Jesus' name. You foul spirit that would cause illegitimacy to be in the family. And I break your dominion over these people in Jesus' name. I break that curse in the name of Satan. I take your rights away. You're not going to cause it to happen in the next generation. I bind and break your dominion, and I take your rights away. And I loose these people from it, that it will not come down through unto their children. I break that dominion in Jesus' name. And I set the captives free in the name of the Lord. I loose them from the captivity of it. I loose them in Jesus' name. And I break the dominion of it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com.
There are many free audio files there.
It's like going to Bible school at home.